Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thank you for being there today. Thank you for being part of our show. If you are listening live, today is Valentine's Day, that day that all around the world we celebrate love. You know, I've heard lots of people talk about it being a commercialized holiday and all of that kind of thing. But in the end, whether you really, really are into Valentine's Day or you not, all of us know that deep down inside, we want love. We want to feel loved. We want to meet that special person. And I hope for those of you that have somebody special in your life today that you will give them a little bit of extra special love today. Let them know how wonderful, how special, how unique they are in your life and how glad you are that they are part of your life. You know, really, even if you're not listening to this live, whatever day it is today, you really need to take the time to celebrate that special person in your life and be glad that you have them. There's a verse that says, you know, rejoice while it's called today. And I encourage you, you know, I mean, that means, in other words, take advantage of today. You know, because who knows? Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And I encourage you that with the people that are significant in your life, those that you love, to take time right now today to let them know how much you love them and how special they are in your life. I want to give a special shout out to my amazing wife, Kathy. Any of you that know her, you know that she is so incredible. She is definitely my better half, and I am so blessed. So I can't even begin to give you words for how amazingly blessed I feel to have her a part of my life, and glad that we've been together and that we can help bring to you best-selling authors. Today is no different. We want to actually bring you a couple of our best-selling authors who are experts on helping you find the love that you want and then also really, truly make the best out of that. Have the best marriage you possibly can. You know, I think that's the two elements. I think you want to, first of all, know how to find somebody that's godly and that really matches with your life. And then once you've found that person, to really hold on to them tightly with both hands, to cherish and relish how wonderful it is to have someone so significant, so wonderful in your life. I know that if you have a soulmate like I do, that you spend every day knowing just how blessed you are and grateful for the opportunity for one more day to get to spend with them. I bet you feel that way too. So happy Valentine's Day to all of you who are listening, regardless of what day you're listening. I encourage you, if you have somebody significant in your life, then, you know, listen to this. Take some notes on ways that you can share with them how special they are to you and make more out of that relationship. And if you don't, then, you know, number one, here's going to be some tips today on how to really truly be able to find somebody that's right for you and that fits well into your life. And then how to also hold on to that relationship, how to make it work, not just, you know, get by with it, but how to be effective and impactful in a really good, really significant relationship. How's that sound for something that you want to hear some information on, regardless of where you are in the relationship? in your life. I hope that you will listen in as we give you some tips on how to have a better relationships in your life. Love is something that all of us want, and yet a lot of people, maybe even most people, really struggle with finding an endearing, enduring love, somebody that really truly loves them as much as they love that person. And it can be really tough. But what we want to do is we want to find somebody that really truly loves us, not just temporarily, but a long-term godly love. And I know a lot of you ladies out there, you're like, oh, yes, tell me how to do that. Well, I can't say I'm an expert. I mean, I love my wife, and she's wonderful in my life, but I brought on somebody today for you for Valentine's Day to help you learn how to find a godly husband. Join me in welcoming Emanuela Rodenberg. Hi, Emanuela. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I love this whole concept of enduring love and finding a really good mate. So before we jump into all of the nitty-gritty of how can I do that, talk to me a little bit about you. What got you into this subject?
Well, Steve, you know, I grew up in a home where I did not see a great example of great marriages. You know, growing up, I didn't inspire to get married because the marriages that I saw growing up really were not very inspiring to me. And I just believe when you grow up in a situation and you witness certain things, you either grow up doing the same thing or you make a conscious decision and say, wow, I want something different. And that's what happened to me. I grew up, I was very conscious of the marriages that I saw around me. And I said, I wanted something different. So I went on a search to find out, how can I have real love? How can I have a godly love? So that's what my inspiration came from, to really write a book on how to attract a godly husband into your life.
And I love that concept that you use about how do you attract that person into your life? Because I think a lot of times people just are kind of expecting the right person to just fall into their lap.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I talk about in my book, and because a lot of women really focus on finding love. Oh, I can't find a good man. Where do I find a godly husband? And I really teach women, it's not about finding, because the Bible talks about he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. So I'm really kind of retraining women to, your job is to attract the right guy into your life. It's not to go out there and seeking, trying to place yourself in the right place, the right location, and you're so consumed in trying to find this man, where if you just focus on working on yourself and some of the things that I talk about in the book, you will attract the right man into your life.
Hmm. And of course, when you bring in the word attraction, immediately, because of our society, we start thinking about our hair and our nails and makeup and all of those kind of things. But I think you're maybe talking about something a little deeper than just, you know, putting on a physical appearance.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I, that's definitely one of my chapters in the book. You know, a man falls in love with her, a woman's essence, her being, her soul. So it goes so beyond the physical. And I said, the physical might attract him, might pull him in, but it's what's on the inside that's going to keep him, that's going to have longevity in your relationship, that you build a friendship. And, you know, I summed the book up and right in the middle of it. So what's the big secret to attracting a godly husband? You know, first of all, I talk about, you have to see God, because he is the one. If you're looking for a godly love or a godly husband, you have to go to the creator, the person who created love. And he defines it in Corinthians 13. He gives us a definition of what love is. It's kind, it's patient, it's not self-seeking, it's not proud. And a lot of times we're out there trying to redefine love when it's already been clearly defined for us. And sometimes we can have our own definition of love based on where we are. So, you know, I talk about, first thing is seeking God, know yourself. You have to know who you are. You out there, you're trying to attract love. And for those of you who are looking for love, you have to know yourself. And you have to know yourself, and you have to love the person that you're with. Love the person that you're with right now. And that person might just be you. So really learning to love that person and caring for that person and being your best and being content with being single. You know, you have to find contentment in whatever relationship status that you are right now. And I tell people all the time, if you're not content, if you're not happy, if you're not joyful, if you're not having fun as a single, the chances are very high that you're not going to find those things when you're married either. Because the other person is not going to bring you all those things. You actually bring them with you into the relationship. So I always encourage people to just work on themselves, be confident, know your value. Know your value, because a lot of times we get into relationships and we're asking our partners to validate us. What do you think I am? What do you think my gifts are, my talents are? And those are some things that we should already know about ourselves before going into a relationship. So that's one of the things that I talk about, just knowing who you are and live a full life. Be joyful. Be happy. Don't wait. Don't put your life on hold until that guy comes along. You should be out there enjoying yourself. Enjoying life. I know that was a long sentence, right?
Oh, no, that's perfect. I love it. You know, I am between us, Kathy and I, we have four daughters, three of which are already are married, and the youngest is now 18 and dating. And, you know, I've always told them it's like, it's not about, well, I mean, it is about finding the right person, but it's more about what kind of a person do you need to be in order for that perfect guy to want to be with you.
Exactly. That is, I'm so glad. It's true. You know, we're all looking for that. We have our definition and our list. But what we don't realize, that person also has a list. They also have requirements. And if you don't want to be with yourself, if you're not working on yourself to being the best person that you can possibly be, then that person, because I said you attract what's in you. There's a reason. A lot of women say, well, I always seem to attract a certain type of guy. Why do I always attract? I hear it a lot. I attract the losers. I attract the guys who don't want a commitment. They're liars. You know, not to say that's what you are, but there's something about you that's given off this aura. So you need to really be, check yourself and see, am I my best? Am I confident with the person that I am? Do I know what I want out of life? Because if you ask a woman who says, I want a great guy, well, what does this great guy look like? Give me some descriptions. And they really can't tell you. You just know they want a great guy. So you really have to be very specific in what you're asking for. And it starts with you knowing yourself and being the best you that you can be so you can attract the best guy into your life.
So it's Valentine's Day. You know, and of course, everybody wants to be with that special someone on Valentine's Day, but, you know, a lot of people don't have that. What's the best thing that a single lady could do on Valentine's Day to be attractive to the right guy, even though he probably isn't going to be there this particular Valentine's Day?
Well, I think the best thing a woman can do at any time to be attractive is to really love yourself. Love yourself and know that you are complete. You're not missing anything. And enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. I think just being content in where you are now and finding the joy in that. You know, find some girlfriends. Go out. Buy yourself some chocolate. You guys get together, get some chocolate, get a bottle of wine, whatever it is, and go out and celebrate and enjoy this time of your life. Enjoy it, because I think there's a lot of, you know, Valentine's to me, and I tell, and I'm married. I've been married for almost going on 8 years. I have two beautiful daughters. And I tell my husband all the time, you know, I'm not such a big, you know, I love Valentine's. That's definitely a day to celebrate love. But to me, what's more important is how my husband treats me the other 364 days. You know, Valentine is just a one-day event. But if you're with someone, it's really about how the relationship is doing the other days. We can be so focused on that one day. And a lot of women, they only get flowers on that one day, that chocolate one day. But it's about having a godly love, a foundation where you feel loved and special and valued every day in your relationship. So don't feel bad or feel down because you don't have someone special to spend Valentine's Day with. Absolutely, you do. You are your Valentine. So celebrate yourself and be happy. And, you know, write a love note to your future husband. Just write him a love letter. Write God a letter. God, thank you because you are preparing my godly husband for me. Thank you that you're working on me to get me prepared to receive him. So just things, you know, that you can do to keep yourself happy and upbeat during this one day of the year.
Well, I think the other side to it is you need to... we talked about being the person, but you also need to be in the place that that person's going to be. I'm forever saying to my older brother, who is still single in his mid-50s, you know, it's like if you meet a girl in a bar, don't be surprised if later on you find out she's a bar girl. You know?
Exactly. That's true. That is absolutely true. That is true. And then we expect the person to change because we've married them and we forgot where we met them at.
Mm. Oh, so, yes.
And that's why I encourage women to just take the pressure off, go out, have fun. And I know it's a cliche, but in most of the stories that I've heard, even to me, with me, it happens when you're the least expecting it. When you are just out there having fun, enjoying yourself, do the things that you love to do. And I tell people all the time, so don't put yourself in the environment just to meet someone where you're uncomfortable in that environment. So if you're uncomfortable at a bar and you just went there because you know a lot of women are typically there, like you said, you might meet a woman there and then she wants to go to the bar all the time. Now you're in a relationship and you're like, I don't want to go to the bar. Well, she's like, well, I met you there. So find things that you generally enjoy. Find activities, find an organization, you know, find things that you really, truly enjoy to do. And then you're going to find someone there who really enjoy those things as well. So you have something in common. So you'll meet someone while you are just out there living your life, enjoying it, having fun, and not really concentrating on it. And that's when it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Such good advice. Another one I wanted you to address is that he has so much potential tendency that especially younger ladies, you know, I see my daughters when they were going through dating, you know, it's like, oh yeah, but mom, you don't understand. He could be so great, you know?
I know. It's like, oh my goodness. And I have two daughters of my own. I look back over my life. I was 30 when I actually called my dad and I said, Dad, you are so right. You are right all those years. What you told me about dating and relationships. And in my book, I dedicated my book to my dad and my mom because I learned so much about relationships from them, especially my dad, because he used to tell me about dating and going out and how to pick, how to attract the right guy. And, you know, when we're young, we just think we know everything. Our parents don't know anything. They're old school. It's old fashioned. Things are no longer done this way. But just to find out, nothing really changes because I tell people at the time, at the core, we're human beings and we're men and women and we were created in a certain way. And that doesn't change. Regardless of the trends and all things that change. But at the core, we were created a certain way. So no, it's like, and some things that comes with age, that comes with wisdom as you grow, when you know better, you do better. And I even talk about that in the book. When you are a mature person ready to choose a spouse for yourself, what you looked for when you were 18, what was necessarily important to you then might not be important to you later in your 20s or early 30s when you're ready to settle down because your needs have changed because you've gotten to know yourself in a deeper level. So you make different choices.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. Kathy and I were both single parents when we met. And we actually approached dating kind of more like, what can I do to scare you away? You know, it's like, well, I've got this thing in my life and I've got this thing. And it's like, yeah, okay, what else you got? You know,
and, we'll do that.
And because that, you know, I mean, she's my best friend. And, you know, I know that we're, you know, we're connected because, you know, we covered all that stuff up front. It was like, you know, I remember our first date. It was kind of like, you know, I wonder if I can scare you away before you can scare me away. Kind of a competition.
Oh, my goodness. Aw.
Well, see, I was a single parent of five kids at the time. So, you know, I was like, you know, I got to find somebody really special because it's a lot to take on.
Ah, and Kathy is special. I've met her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She is. But yeah, it's true sometimes, but you know what? You can't scare the right person away. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's someone, when you meet that right person, they're just for you. And that's what I tell people all the time. When he's not for you, don't force it. It either fits or it does not.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we're trying to make ourselves fit into relationships that was never designed for us. And that's where we get into trouble.
Yeah. We've been talking with Emanuela Rodenberg about her amazing book, How to Find a Godly Husband. It's available now. It's a bestseller and available on Amazon. Please go check it out. Emanuela Rodenberg, How to Find...
Steve, I'm going to have to correct you. It's Rodenberg.
Okay, Rodenberg.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure. And it's spelled Emanuela. Rodenberg. How to How to attract a godly husband.
How to attract a godly husband. Yeah.
Yeah. Get it on Amazon.
Yeah,
right,
it's awesome. We had a great book launch, and the people are excited about it. They're downloading it. They're getting it. So I'm very excited about, you know, just the people who are going to be reading the book. And so far, I've gotten some great reviews that people are definitely being blessed by the book. So I'm excited.
Well, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for allowing Kathy and I to be a little part of your bestseller journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you for this time.
You know, I'm reminded of the song, Love Is All Around You. And I really do believe that love is there and that there is a plan for the love of your life. But you really want to just be the most impactful person that you can be right now in your life, and let that love come to you. I promise you that if you be the best you can be, that the things and the people in your life will rise up to meet you at the level that you're at. Does that sound like a good thing? We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I hope you really enjoyed Emanuela's book. I hope you went and got it. If you haven't yet, please do. It's available actually today on Amazon. And I hope that if you're looking for a godly husband, that you really took some notes on some things that you can do to be the person, to be in the place, and be ready for when that soulmate comes along in your life. So now that you've got them, for those of you that are married, Now what we need to do is we need to honor that most precious of gifts in our life. It's so easy to get busy with the business of marriage that we forget how we felt when we were looking for that person and how honored and blessed we feel for having found them. For some of us, it's so easy to be able to let days go by and not tell that significant person just how important they are to us. And I encourage you, take some notes on this, learn some ways that you can have a better relationship right now, today, so that you can make the most out of that significant, most significant, I might say, relationship in your life. That's that marriage to that wonderful person that came into your life, that you chose to want to live your life with. And now, let's really, really listen as we learn some ways that we can make the most out of our marriage. You know, marriage is a tricky thing. And when we live in a society that more than half of the marriages don't make it, it's really easy to buy into a belief that your marriage is destined to fail, that it just can't possibly work. But the opposite is so true. And today we want to talk a little bit about how you can have an amazing marriage today. So to help us with that, I've got a good friend, Michael Steele. He's actually the family pastor at his church, and he's the marriage guru. He's going to share with us a little bit from his upcoming best-selling book, 10 Things That Can Help Your Marriage Today. So, Michael, thanks for being with us here today.
Oh, Steve, thanks for having me, man. This is phenomenal. I am excited about what God is about to do, and I can't wait till the book release. And I've been talking to some people. They're excited, and we just can't wait until this Saturday, this coming weekend. And I'm so thankful to be on the show with you today.
Well, thanks for taking the time with us. I know that, like, every day of the week, you work with couples. But I know that it didn't start out that way. You didn't wake up one morning and go, you know what I want to do when I grow up? I want to help marriages. So tell us a little bit about that journey. What got you to the place where you became the marriage guru?
Well, you're absolutely right. It did not start out that way. That wasn't my original desire. My wife and I have been married just over 18 years, just celebrated our anniversary this past January 2nd. And we are, in fact, the Valentine's Day season is very, very special to us because it was Valentine's weekend back in 1998. On that Friday, 13th, I asked my wife to marry me, and she accepted. And then that very next day was Valentine's Day, so we were very, very excited at that time. And now every year around Valentine's Day, it just brings back the memory of the moment that we got engaged before we were married. So I'm very excited about that. But on our journey, it wasn't long after we were married. We got married the following year, 1999. It wasn't long that we started having issues. You know, that happiest day seems to be the day that you walk down the aisle and you meet that person that you feel that God led you to marry, and you've had marriage counseling, premarital counseling prior to that, all of those things in order, the perfect dress, the perfect song, everything seems to fall in place on that particular day. And so we were so happy. And, you know, the first week after, everything was going well, everything was going great. And probably year two, year three, we started having some bumps in the road. And we were just adjusting to having a couple babies in our lives at that time. We had two little girls, and so it was an adjustment period for us. We didn't have a lot of time in between the moment that we got married and then the next year. Our oldest daughter was born 20 days after our first anniversary, and so it felt like from the beginning that we had been with child almost from day one. And so, you know, with children comes a bit of distraction. Now, it's not, I don't want to say distraction in the wrong sense, but it is a distraction because it keeps couples from focusing on one another as much as you can, as much as you would like to, because children need the attention that they need. You know, they can't really do anything for themselves, so it's very important that we give them what they need. And unfortunately, that happens to the demise of many marriages. And so with that said, I think that was part of what started happening to us, because we had to focus on our children, our two little girls, so much that we in some ways forgot that she was mom and I was, we had forgotten that she was my wife. I forgot that she was my wife, and she had forgotten that I was her husband, because we were so focused on being mom and dad. And so as a result of that, by year five, our son, my wife was pregnant with our son, and we were done. We were ready to go our separate directions. We said that she would go and I would go, and we would decide how to handle the kids later on. And I remember in that same year, I remember my wife was a part of a small group down the street at a church, not our church, but another church down the street. And when she went to this small group study, it was the Mothers of Preschoolers, was the name of the group. And she brought back some paperwork from a study that they were doing. And the study was on the book, The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. And I remember my wife saying, I think we need to take a look at this. So we took a look at it, and we went out and bought the book. And immediately, I noticed that things started to get better. We were reading, and we began to discover that our marriage could actually be way better than what it was if we knew how to speak each other's love language. And once we started speaking each other's love language, we found out that things were so much better. Things started to just progress, and we were so excited about that. And so, you know, it's funny, at the same time, while our marriage was getting better, we had several couples that we were friends with, their marriages started getting worse. And so we found ourselves trying to give them advice, even though we were fresh off the issue of being close to divorce ourselves. We were fresh off that, but we started giving them marital advice as much as we could and the things that it actually helped us. And it wasn't long after that we decided that we wanted to start our couples ministry at our church, because one of our friends who were part of that, our small circle, our little group of married couples, one of those couples decided to get a divorce. And my wife and I, we loved them both, and we saw what they went through and all the horrible things that come with divorce. We saw them going through those things, and we made a pact that we would do our best to keep our marriage together. We didn't want to go down that road of divorce. And so we started this ministry to help other couples avoid the pitfall of divorce. And so when we started our ministry, we began to minister to couples. And in a nutshell, that was the start of our ministry to couples. Now, the Marriage Guru came some years later, but that started our ministry to couples. So for the last 12 years, we've been doing couples ministry at our church, and we've been able to help a couple hundred couples through the years keep their marriages on track. So that's been something that is now normal for us. So we're thankful.
You know, now I know there are some people that heard that and they're like, yep, me too. Two hands up and stand up, as Lisa Nichols would say. I too know what it's like to have that be normal in my life, that I have a good relationship, and that me and the person that I'm married to really take the time to show each other that we love each other. I know for others of you, you are scared. Let's just be honest. Your marriage is not where you want it to be. And so rather than giving up, giving in, throwing in the towel and being done with it, I encourage you, stick around. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but then we're going to come back and we're going to give you some tools, some ideas that you can put in to actively have a better marriage, things that you can do right now today to have a better marriage. I know that's worth sticking around through this commercial break and getting more of the information that you want and need so that you can have the best relationship possible. You are listening to Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here with Michael Steele, and we are talking about the 10 steps that you can take to have a better marriage today. Isn't that something that you want more of? If your relationship's good, I promise you it can get better. And if you've had some struggles, if you're going through a rough patch right now, here are some things that you can significantly and impactfully do to have a better relationship today. And, you know, with Valentine's Day, it's that day that the whole world is talking about how wonderful it is to be in love and, you know, great relationships and all that kind of thing. But I know there's people that are out there now that are like, you know, that's not my experience right now. There are so many great things in your book. And of course, a person needs to pick up 10 steps to help your marriage today to get all of them. But what is the one thing that just really jumps off the page to you today that a person really should insert into their marriage immediately to have it be, you know, a really great Valentine's Day for their marriage?
There, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There are a number of things that I love Valentine's Day, but there's people who probably on the flip side of the coin who've had bad experiences on Valentine's Day or around the Valentine's season, and they just don't like the time. And so, you know, to those that are listening who've had that issue, we pray for you today, and we pray that God blesses you and that God helps you get beyond the issues that have been caused by the things that haven't gone well as far as relationships go in your life. But back to the book, 10 things that would help your marriage today. I really think if there was one thing that I would say you must do, you need to do, you have to do, there's one thing that it would be my first step. The very first step is making your spouse your top priority. Making your spouse your top priority comes in so many different ways depending upon the couple. But there's a couple things that I recommend immediately. There's a way to make your spouse your top priority, and the way to do that would be to put them on your calendar. And I don't know how it is at your house, Steve, or at the house of our listeners, but in my home, we have 5 children. I didn't mention that yet, but we have 5 children, and we have from varying ages, from 17 all the way down to 5. And so We have a lot of things going on. And my all of my five children go to five different schools. And so we stay busy. We are all over. We're all in the same county. But we have different needs. Our kids have different needs. So we do our best to make sure their needs are met. So we put them in different schools that would meet the need according to where we feel like they are. And so my girls are both of my older girls are in high school now. They're both cheerleaders. And my son plays football. He's in eighth grade, my oldest son. And then we have two other kids, our 5-year-old and 7-year-old. And the 7-year-old does gymnastics. And then our 5-year-old, he hasn't really found a niche yet, but he has other things going on in the school related that keeps us busy as well. But with all of that said, our schedule is crazy. It is all over the place from day to day, from week to week. And so we do our best to make sure that we use a calendar. We have to have a calendar every Sunday. It's our goal to have our weekly summit meeting, if you want to call it that. We sit down and we talk about all the things that are going on for the week so that we can know who's going to be picking up this person and shuttling them to the next stop and what's going on here and what's going on there. Because if we don't know that stuff, it's going to drive us crazy, drive us up the wall. So included in our weekly meetings is or on our calendar is our date nights. And so my wife and I, I mentioned that our anniversary was on January 2nd. So coming off the new year, every year we sit down and we plan during our time that we get away for our anniversary time. We usually try to take about a week for anniversary time. And when we do this, we sit down and we write out our date, the times that we're actually going to go on a date. Now, we might not know exactly what we're doing, but we write down what dates, what days we are going to go on our date. And when we do that, that gives our marriage priority, because there's many things that will fill up our schedule. There's many things that will cause us to have things to do. And when that starts to happen, if we haven't placed our date nights on the calendar, then just by default, our days will start to overtake our personal lives, and then we won't be able to even sit down and have a date with one another. And so even though we see each other every day, it's not the same because we always have kids that are around us asking questions, needing this, needing that. And, you know, we spend time talking about the business of marriage, who's going to pay the bills, who's going to do this, who's going to do that, which those things have to be discussed. But whenever you're able to go on a date, you can spend time talking about the things that really matter, the things that brought you to where you are in your marriage, the things that allow you, that cause you to fall in love with each other, things like your dreams and things like your goals and your passions and the things that really matter, because everybody talks about the business, but we must focus on the passion of the marriage and those things that help us connect. And whenever we're able to connect, we are able to get beyond all of the battles that we have to fight on a regular, consistent basis, day in and day out. And I'm a firm believer in resets. And so a reset moment is whenever you're able to get away from everything that's around you for just a moment, just so you can catch your breath and then go back at it again. And so whenever we go out on a date, it's like a mini marriage reset. And so we're able to focus on the things that matter to each other. And so we spend time looking into each other's eyes on these dates. And we don't do this every time, because sometimes we go to a sporting event or we go to a movie of some sort. But we spend not only shoulder to shoulder time, which is what I can talk about that later, which men primarily need. Men need shoulder to shoulder time. That means they need a buddy and a person that's a friend. And then our wives need face to face time. And so we spend time looking into each other's eyes, engaging, talking. If we're going to do the events that cause us to be shoulder to shoulder, I make sure that we have face-to-face time first. So we may go to a dinner, a nice sit-down dinner, so that we can talk about the things that we haven't had a chance to talk about or the things we need to catch up on and all those kinds of things. And so that, to me, that is putting, that's giving your spouse priority. That is giving your spouse your first. The thing, you know, whenever you put them on the calendar, that lets them know that they are important to you. And likewise, you're important to them. And so, you know, your marriage is important enough to where you will put your spouse first. And so that is one small example of what it looks like to put your, give your spouse priority.
Hmm.
And that's really important. I mean, if you can just put your spouse first in your marriage, it can make an enormous difference in the direction and the course of where your marriage goes. You know, there's 10 things, 10 steps to help your marriage today. And you can get Michael's book on Amazon. It's coming out on Saturday. And it'll be available to you thereafter on Amazon.com. 10 steps to help your marriage today. Michael, I know there are so many other things that you can share with people, but I wanted to just give them just a little taste of what they're going to get from the book so that they can they can have a better marriage today, because I really, really do hope, wish, and more importantly, pray that on every single person that is listening, that they'll have a better marriage starting today.
Absolutely, Steve. And man, I just really believe that, and you mentioned this in the beginning when you first opened the radio show today, there's a lot of people who don't have hope, and you know, they don't have when you look at the TV shows and you look at the news, you read the statistics, and then, you know, even closer to home, you see your friends start to lose their marriages and things start to fall apart. Then, you know, maybe there's somebody today who's listening and just, you feel hopeless. And I just want you to know that there is help for you. There is hope for the hopeless. And you can make it. Your marriage doesn't have to be over. If you want your spouse, and you and your spouse want to make this thing happen, it will happen. It takes work. And the average couple spends time planning for every step. You know, I mentioned this about marriage early on, but the average couple spends time planning their wedding from beginning to end. They spend time planning for their honeymoon. They spend time maybe talking about housing and talking about, you know, where they're going to live, and maybe even talking about having babies. But they don't start off with a plan of success. If you don't plan for your marriage to succeed, it won't. Success doesn't happen on accident. It happens on purpose. And so each and every day, we have to decide that our marriage is going to be successful. It's not something that you can just decide on one time and then not do anything about it. You have to physically write some things down. You have to physically have a conversation. You have to physically talk to your spouse in communication, listening, hearing what they have to say, and then speaking, and then going back and forth. And you know, having that conversation with your spouse is very important. And I think, you know, that anybody that really wants to make it, it is hard work, but you can make it. You can.
Great encouragement. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time today to share both some of your wisdom as well as your experiences so that all of us can have a better marriage today. Thanks so much.
Thank you for this opportunity.
As my friend Susie Carter would say, that was some juicy stuff. I hope you got a lot out of that and all the information that Michael shared with us. We're going to take our last commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business?
Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. We have been talking this entire episode about love, about how to find that significant person in your life, how to cherish them, how to hold on to them, and how to have a great relationship. And I really hope that regardless of where you are in the relationship curve, looking for love, been married for 50 years, that anywhere along that spectrum, that you found some things that you can really do. Now, the first question that I know some people are probably thinking is like, yeah, but what does this have to do with being a thriving entrepreneur? Well, I'm going to tell you, especially your marriage relationship, it's going to have probably the most significant impact on what you do in business than anything else that you do. I can almost guarantee you that I can guarantee you that if you are having trouble at home, you will be having trouble in your business. It is impossible to try to run an effective and impactful business when there's chaos at home. Whether that be the chaos of looking for love in all the wrong places, or feeling alone and lonely, or it be the chaos of difficulty in your marriage, I can promise you that you're really not going to thrive in your life and business until you take care of those significant and most important parts of your life first. It's really easy to let your marriage, your family, those kind of things go because of how big your purpose is. And I know it. I know that that thing that you do is so significant. It's so impactful. And the world needs it so much that it's really easy to fall into the trap of sacrificing your family on the altar of your business, on the altar of your calling. And I hope that you won't fall into that trap today, because it's so sad to see people who are making such a huge impact in the world but are all alone. They come home to an empty house, no one to share their joys or their struggles with. I'm so grateful again, to my wife, Kathy, to having her in my life, so that regardless of where we are, sometimes our business is just so thriving we can't hardly even stand how good it's going. And there are other times when, we struggle just like everybody else does. There are good days, there are bad days, but it's always, always good to have somebody that's always in your corner, that gets it, and is there helping to row the ship to better places, to a more significant, more impactful outcome than where you are right now. That's one of the biggest ways I can tell you how to thrive in your life and your business, is to take care of those most important relationships first. Everything else will work itself out if you've done that. If you take care of you, if you take care of your relationship with your spouse, if you are looking for love in the right places and really just living a powerful, impactful life, and being attractive as a female to a man that wants to find a good wife. I loved that verse that Emanuela quoted, "He who finds a good wife finds a good thing." I really appreciate that, and I hope that you will see how significantly impactful that can be in your life as you celebrate this Valentine's Day in whatever way you're going to celebrate today, whether you're celebrating that there's a person out there for you and you get all excited about the fact that someone is being prepared specifically for you, or whether you're with that special someone and you get a chance to just look in their eyes and tell them, I love you. I hope that each one of you, regardless of whether you're listening live on Valentine's Day or you're listening to this, you know, 5 years from now, that you will take the time today to tell the people in your life how important and how special they are to you. Because you do have a purpose in this world. You have a message that needs to be shared. And even on Valentine's Day, Kathy and I want to help you make a significant and impactful change in our world, to live out that purpose that you're meant to live, to fulfill in this world. And that's why we created Bestsellers Guild. You can go to bestsellersguild.com. It'll take you right straight to the Facebook group. It's a free group. You just ask to join and you can be part of the group. And it's filled with people who already are best-selling authors, people who want to be best-selling authors and haven't started their book yet, and a whole bunch of people that are somewhere in the middle working on their book and working on their way that they can significantly and successfully do their part to make the world a better place, to thrive and shine as only they can. And I want that for you too. So please do come join us at bestsellersguild.com. We want to love on you. It's Valentine's Day. We've been talking this whole time about love, and I can tell you, this is an amazing community. It's more like a family. If you need some place to feel like you belong, we've got it right there for you, bestsellersguild.com. It's always fun for me to hear stories from our members about how they've met people, how they've formed relationships with people in the group, and how nice it feels to know that there are people out there that are going through the same things they've gone through and are there for them and have their back. And then, like many others have, when you do finally get a chance to get together and meet in person, you'll feel like you already have known each other for a really long time, and you'll be able to celebrate in the friendship and the relationship that you have with those people. I want that for you. I want you to make the impact that you were meant to make in this world and be part of our community at bestsellersguild.com, where you too can help others make the impact that they're meant to make on this world, and they can too live their life as a thriving entrepreneur. Doesn't that sound like a great thing? You get to thrive and you get to help other people thrive and live out their purpose, the reason why they were put on this planet. Kathy and I just feel so blessed every time we get an opportunity to give to the world another best-selling author, to be just a little part of their significant journey and of their sharing of their message and their story with the world. We feel blessed by that because we know. Did you hear me say that? We know that you are uniquely brilliant. There's nobody else like you. There's nobody else that has your skills and your gifting. You were created for a purpose. You're not here by accident. You're not purposeless or useless. You were created for a purpose. And what we know is that the world needs you. They need you to bring all that you are, your special, unique brilliance, share it with the world, and help make the world a better place. Know that Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Until next week, I hope that you will thrive and you will have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.